Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I am Lauren Tenney, and this is the Talk with Tenney show. Tonight, I'm very excited to say that we have back with us Jack M. Friedman on his new chapbook. Jack, are you there?
I am right here, Lauren.
Great. So thanks for calling in. For listeners to know that this latest chapbook of poetry written by Jack M. Friedman, just as his previous book, Never Lick the Spoon, was a tribute to those who passed. This book is a celebration of life. Jack has been published in the following journals, which include Unquiet Desperation, Third Rail, First Literary Review East, Espresso Inc., Boston Literary Magazine, Eunoia, Eunoia, thank you, Review, Acoustic Levitation, NYSAI Press.
NYSAI Press.
Yeah. NYSAI Press, thanks.
Typoeticus, I think, is the next one.
Typoeticus?
Yeah.
Diversity and Post Blank. You can follow Jack on social media, and we'll give that out throughout the show. I want to make sure that we get this out there right away, that people know that the open mic and release party is going to be in New York on September 2nd, 2016 at 8 p.m. at the Nothing New Thrift Shop, which is at 4916 Arthur Kill Road, Staten Island, New York, 10309. So, Jack, would you please introduce the title of your new chapbook and tell us a little bit about it?
Okay. Thank you, Lauren, for having me on here, for starters. This book is called Tobias. Tobias comes from the Hebrew, which means the goodness of God. And each poem actually starts, the title of each poem actually starts with a letter in this name. And this is more or less a more spiritually geared book. Never Lick the Spoon was more or less, you know, a tribute to my father and some other people in my life who had passed away up until that point. This is, as the description says, a celebration of life. It is a much more pleasantly toned book, I think. And for certain, I'm looking forward to releasing it. I'm looking forward to the reading for certain. I've been hyping this up for the past few months, so I'm definitely looking forward to selling a few copies for a little bit of money. You know, it's going to be $5. It's a little bit more of a low-budget production and shorter. Six poems. Poems are a little bit longer, but the book is a little bit shorter, if that makes any sense.
Well, I find this very exciting, and I'm hoping that you'll give us a little bit of a taste. But I really want to leave the roadmap for our discussion here tonight open. But before we get any deeper into any of this, I want to make sure people have the phone number to call in. If you'd like to call in and talk with Jack, the number to call is area code 267-521-0167, area code 267-521-0167. And if you need a toll-free line for tonight, we do have a special toll-free line. You can call 855-346-3351. It's 855-346-3351 if you really need it. We're an unfunded show, but every now and then we do get to have a toll-free line. So, and there are people calling in. I want to remind those who are listening in that if you'd like to participate in the conversation, to press 1 or star 1 to let me know, and I'll be able to tap you in. Even if you've done it, do it again, because sometimes things get a little lost. So, Jack, where would you like to go from here?
Okay, well, I think I'll start with the first poem in the book, if I may.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
So this first poem is called Touching the Sky. I've been through a number of edits with this one. It's about life in the 1980s. I was born in 1981, so that's a good part of my childhood right there. I wanted to also give a shout-out, if he is listening, to a good friend of mine and fellow poet, Thomas Fucaloro, who helped me with the editing of this poem. I tend to go to these poetry writing workshops, which are held by Nisei Press, who I was mentioned before. I really owe a lot of my my gratitude to them. But without further shenanigans, here is the poem. It is called Touching the Sky. Sunrises on Saturday mornings before networks had 24-hour programming are vast memories. Sense of light and color from the test pattern. Darkness eradicated at the age of 4. Infomercials with Richard Simmons outlined weight loss fallacies, crash diets, laxatives, vomiting, starved for a sense of belonging, excretion of identity, purging taboos of the psychic and psychotic. And then the colors of Delamille cards eased that need to nourish my spirit, quenching my thirst for love and wisdom. In the morning I had no rooster to wake me. Tootie from the home shopping club woke me. Gold and emeralds eased my chaos, adoration adorned, and fever fueled. Perceptions of color often defined through ColecoVision, Atari, Commodore, low fidelity, higher contrast from reruns of The Twilight Zone, I Love Lucy, The Honeymooners. I craved boldness in those 8-bit rainbows, skylines done in justice. 16 colors aren't enough. Impossible to fill in a 24-hour void with such restrictions. I observe the sky through filters, none of which distort reality, but simply accentuate the vividness of heaven. Often I reminisce of 1985, the first time I had a numerical concept of a year, 4 years after my birth, 30 years prior to my father's passing. These days, my eyes are hexadecimal algorithms. Pantone has yet to develop, and my vision is HDMI. Pupils are my perspective, darkness, the onyx observation of loneliness and loss, my insatiable need to find a place within this infinite spectrum, my unfulfilled desire to belong. The wheel of fortune spins. Luck is pressed. Big money, big money, big money, big bucks, big bucks, big bucks, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies, stop! Pink hearts, orange stars, yellow moons, green clovers, blue diamonds, purple horseshoes, red balloons, pots of gold, rainbows, trees, blue moons, leprechaun hats, gold coins, shooting stars, crystal balls, hourglasses, keys. These are the talisman of morning magic, ambrosia of oats and marshmallows soaked in milk. But my lucky charms are my rods and cones. They allow me to admire these radiant symbols. All my photos evolved from mud. This new set of colors is presently paradise, my heaven, my sky, my ether. Perhaps it demonstrates the incorporation of color destined to reach out. Perhaps it's friendlier than the earth upon which I stand. Perhaps I crave that which is limitless, for skies are not ceilings. The outside world is unconfined, my aura showcases skylines. The end.
Wow.
Chock full of 80s imagery, eh?
Amazing. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And as somebody who's currently addicted to the 24-hour news cycle and constantly trying to break myself out of that, boy, do I appreciate that early sunrise.
I understand that completely, Lauren.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. I can see your effort and your reading is just amazing of it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Lauren.
Yeah. And put me down for a copy. I think I'm going to be able to actually come pick it up myself.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I want to remind people of the number if you'd like to call in on talk with Jack, ask questions, pose issues, read your own material, whatever you'd like to do. 267-521-0167 is the regular line, and if you need long distance, you can call 855-346-3351. That'll only run when this show is live, which it is right now if you're listening. Well, actually, that's a terrible message.
yeah.
At 9:10 p.m. on August 24th. So Jack, what would you like people to know?
Okay, well, in addition to that, you know, knowing that oftentimes mental health issues are discussed on this program, I'm also running a mental health open mic with a few people who are affiliated with NYSI Press and also affiliated with our first Staten Island Slam team, finalists and members of the team alike. We're putting together an open mic, a mental health open mic. It's going to take place at the Richmond Hood Company on October 6th. We plan on having a few things happening. We've yet to do the invite, but at the same time, we are planning on doing this for certain. We are planning on having Baltic Street AEH Incorporated be the organization we are going to be benefiting. We're going to have some speakers. We're going to have two featured poets, Patrick Roche and Jane LaCroix. I'm assuming that if everything goes according to plan, these are all going to be the things that are going to be put into place, but you guys heard it here first.
That's really exciting. Although, I would urge you to stop using language of mental health. It's such a fraud.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, be that as it may, I know that, you know, given that we have survivors and we have people who adhere to these labels alike, I think it's going to be a good open forum for anybody who has ever been unfortunate enough to be branded, basically.
No doubt. Please let me know when that is coming up, and if you or anyone would like to do a show about it, that would be great.
No problem. We got any callers on the air, or?
There is one caller. I don't know if they're trying to get through and speak or not, but I'm going to say area code 813. If you'd like to participate, your line is open. You're live on the air. This person may be just wanting to listen. So.
Not a problem.
I'm gonna take off. And if at any point people want to participate who are listening in on the line, *1 or 1 to come into the queue, and we'll get you in. And then if you want to call in, the number is 267-521-0167. Jack, anything you'd like to talk about?
Well, let's see. I mean, I've been involved with quite a number of things. I've had my hands in quite a few cookie jars since we've last spoken. I mean, I feel like my brain is always kind of like focusing on the next creative feat that I'm doing. Another chapbook I plan on putting together in the future, it's going to probably be released sometime in the spring of 2017, is a chapbook that is called Sonnets from the Pekingese. So it's going to be a collection of sonnets, and these sonnets are going to be put in kind of like a graphic novel format. They're going to be in like these black speech bubbles, and a sketch of a Pekingese dog is going to be just kind of like thinking up these sonnets. You basically have to see it in order to really understand what I'm talking about, but it is basically going to be like a dog that thinks in sonnets, basically. That's going to be the theme.
That's great. And how did, with Lick the Spoon, King of the Last, you came on, you were talking about it, you were just releasing it. What's that process been like for you?
Well, the process for Never Lick the Spoon was definitely a long one, because before that I had put forth Serotonin Seas, and Serotonin Seas was put forth in 2005, and I thought to myself, you know what, it's been a very long time since I've published any poetry. And so when I was putting together Never Lick the Spoon, I had collected some poems that had been published in other publications, like the ones that you had mentioned. And so from all of those, I decided to settle with 16 poems and two haikus. And, you know, when I was going through all of those, I just thought to myself, you know what, these are really like the creme de la creme of what I've really put together since I had put together Serotonin Seas. And Serotonin Seas was more or less a recovery from certain elements of my life. And this was more of, I guess you could say, it took a little bit more of a mixed kind of emotions, but it wasn't like all of the drudgery that was taking place in my life when I wrote Serotonin Seas. When I wrote Never Lick the Spoon, I had a couple of different things in mind. I had my father in mind, and I'm not sure how many people are familiar with the inside joke that comes along with Never Lick the Spoon, but the one thing that often came to mind with that is people would, like, wonder, what the hell does that mean? And, you know, I wound up explaining the joke, you know, what is the first thing that you learn in a chemistry lab? And the punchline is, never lick the spoon. And given that my father was a chemist, you know, that was one of those little inside jokes that we have. My father always enjoyed chemistry jokes. I'm actually looking at a picture of him right now as I'm talking, or a couple of pictures. But the other joke that he would tell is that in his chemistry classes, in his labs, he and his friends would always ask the question, can you eat it or will it explode? Any substance that would be mentioned in chemistry lab, that question would come up. Can you eat it or will it explode? Aluminum, can you eat it or will it explode? Titanium, can you eat it or will it explode? Cyanide, can you eat it or will it explode? You know, anything along those lines, those questions would always be used to just make the teacher's life a living hell. So I came up with that concept just through that. And the other thing is, if you look on the social media that is on the webpage, the cover of the book is a picture that my father had drawn. I was never exactly sure when he had drawn it, whether it was drawn during his teenage years when he was going to boarding school, or whether it was done afterwards. I never exactly knew when it was. There's no date on there, but I decided to use that as the image. And on top of all that, my mother gave me the idea to put like a little bit of a color, like tie-dye kind of thing, in the shirt, because Dad always kind of like marched to the beat of a different drum, and he was a real hippie, that one, and I always kind of admired that about him.
I remember
you, for you.
Yeah, and then to bias now into where you're going, and how you're moving into further celebrating and challenging and recounting, and what you shared with us, you were saying that each poem starts with one of the letters of Tobias, is that right?
Right, and you just got the letter T, yes.
Right.
There are titles that do start with O, B, I, A, and S, for certain. And, you know, that was, like, my key. Originally, I was thinking it was going to be, like, boats or something, or boat or something like that, because it was going to be, like, I think it was, like, B-O-A-T-S, and then I threw an I in there, and I decided it would be like make it Tobias. And I want to give another shout-out to another friend of mine, Julie Benson. Julie, if you're listening, thank you. Julie and I, one thing that we have in common is that we're both into Carl Jung, and we've talked quite a bit about archetypes and subpersonalities and what have you, anima, animus. And, you know, she told me that, you know, she had her male counterpart was named Toby. And just, this was just kind of like an unconscious synchronicity, because I had never had thought about that when I had made the book Tobias. And then I remembered a friend of mine told me, oh, wait, that's Julie's animus. And partially, you know what, I got to give credit where that's due. Julie, thank you. Love you. Cool.
That's great. That's great. And how you know, I don't know, maybe if you would be willing to share with people who might be thinking themselves about writing or participating in an open mic or any of that, like what your process has been like of from not doing it to doing it and what you would suggest to somebody.
Well, I would definitely suggest you just rip it off like a Band-Aid. I used to be a very incredibly shy person. I feel like if you're going up to an open mic for the first time to read, it's going to be understandable if you wind up burying your face within that paper. Everybody does it when they first get up on stage. But the point is, you want your words to be conveyed. You want to make sure you feel those words. Even if you can't necessarily look at the audience yet, you just get into your own headspace and you just read however you feel. And, you know, that's the one tip that I always give to people who are stepping up in front of the mic for the first time. And, you know, I believe, you know, it's better to write than to not write. I've always believed that. I've been doing spoken word for about 14 years. I've kind of been, I did like the writing off and on thing since I was 18. It wasn't until I was 21 that I started doing this on a regular basis. I'm 35 now, and the one anniversary that will always come to me is September 12th, 2002. It was a year and a day after 9/11 that I started doing spoken word on a regular basis.
Wow.
I think it was just more along the lines of I just couldn't keep my mouth shut for that long, you know?
And you know, for people who, you know, it's better to write than not to write. I think that's great. You should copyright that or something. seriously. Yeah, there's a lot of people who often, and I find myself like that sometimes also, who struggle in just even putting down a couple of words or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, that on top of the speaking being an issue, the writing itself presents an issue. Writer's
mm-hmm.
block, these kinds of things, you know.
Right, right. Okay, well, there are always these prompts that can be given, and there was one prompt that I used in the book, and one good one to use, and you can either have one epic poem or you could have 10 poems out of it. The aforementioned Thomas Piccolo actually introduced me to this one. Write a poem or a series of poems featuring 10 parts of your identity. So if you were to consider yourself a poet, that would be one idea. An athlete, that would be another idea. A schmuck, that would be another. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, you get the idea. Any 10 words that you can use to describe yourself, any 10 words that you could use to categorize yourself, that's a very strong jumping off point for yourself if you wanted to really break the ice with writing.
Right. And how do you use writing as like a, I hate the word healing, but, you know, something like that. Like as a modality to like bring you closer to where your divine self ought to be, right?
To whoever it may concern, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever it may concern. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a, you know, a big piece sometimes. You did bring up Jung, and so I do wanna Carl Jung, and so I do wanna just tell you a funny story about when I went to some called-in training about Jung.
Shoot.
and I asked them, you know, at what point would they argue that somebody's spiritual experience isn't what otherwise had been, you know, identified as psychiatric. And they laughed at me. They laughed at me. They outright laughed. I'd ask, what, like, in court, how would a Jungian psychiatrist argue, or somebody from a perspective, argue in favor of breaking any court-ordered psychiatry. And they just laughed at me. It was such a disappointment.
Yeah, it's too bad synchronicity doesn't hold up in a court of law.
Right.
Yeah.
So, do you want to give out your social media information and the information about the open mic and release party in New York?
Yes, absolutely. I can be reached on social media in a few places. My current Facebook page is facebook.com/Tobias Chatbook. I'll spell that out. TOBIAS Chapbook, no spaces, CHABOOK. My Twitter information, which needs to be updated, is actually Licking Spoon. Little story behind that, I had put Licking Spoon on the back of the page, and I thought to myself, you know what, I had originally had it as Tobias Chapbook, but, you know, considering that I had, you know, made that error on the back of the book, I just went back to Licking Spoon just so that I could be accessed. So I took care of that. Also, I'm on Instagram. I'm addicted to Instagram. That would be at JFREEDMAN, the number 8 and the number 1.
And also, so, people should know that this is all also on the promo for this episode. If you just expand and see all, you should be able to get that. And I'm also sharing it on the Talk with Penny Facebook page.
Right. Now, as far as the release party is concerned, there's going to be the open mic, which starts, and anything goes at this open mic. It could be comedy, it could be poetry, it could be music, whatever you feel like is in your heart, you can bring to that mic. And it's, the address is on the Talk with Tenny website as well. What else can I say about this? Lauren, do you think there's anything else I can mention about this open mic?
An open mic and release party for people who don't, just to make clear, people can come and buy your book. You've made it really affordable for people.
$5, yes.
To get $5 to get this chapbook with this great poetry in and I'm looking forward to seeing what the titles of the other poems are. You're going to be doing a reading. It's also an opportunity for people to get up and read their own work. Great. And to listen to other people, meet other people. It's party atmosphere, right?
The Nothing New open mic is a very chill, relaxed atmosphere. Having done slam for about a year and being that I'm going to continue doing it, sometimes it's just like a nice change of pace to just kind of have a relaxed atmosphere and not to have to project too much, not to have to, you know, be in performance mode. Sometimes it's just nice to be in, like, calm reading mode, you know, think like the Quiet Storm on R&B radio. That's basically what metaphor I'm using for that one. Oh, another important thing that I should mention is I'm going to be streaming this on Facebook Live. I'm going to be making it a point to have somebody hold my phone or hold a phone. And, hey, I mean, even if I have a whole bunch of people holding their phones on Facebook Live, that would be awesome. Just to get the word out there and just to get the message out there of Tobias.
That's great. What a great plan you have there to do that. I plan on coming and picking up my copy next
week.
September 2nd, starting at 8 o'clock at
Nothing New
Staten Island. Folks,
right.
Staten Islanders, this is the time to get out there. Come out to my end of this, you know, under the outer bridge, right, practically. If you're
yes.
in Jersey, you're probably closer.
Yeah. I mean, as it is, I don't drive, so I'm actually getting a ride there, and I've tried getting there via public transportation. I got to, like, rethink my route. I tried taking the train to the Richmond Valley area, and all I know is I felt like I was playing Frogger because there were no curbs that I could walk on, so I was dodging traffic, and not a pretty thing. So I had to read.
out on this end of the island. We don't believe in sidewalks. It'll be a great night, and I think it's really exciting that you're doing this, and for people to know, like, you know, that you started like one, you know, one foot. You weren't always here at this point of where you're releasing and writing and publishing, and that that it's within people's reach if they want to do it, right? And so
yes, absolutely.
You're finding ways to make this happen at a great rate for yourself, and that's awesome.
Thank you.
For sure. Any other ideas that you want to talk about? There is another caller. I'm going to open up the lines and see if, I don't know if this person wants to participate or not, but
let's see.
Opening up lines, and I'm having a trouble opening up the line. It's not opening.
Live radio, folks.
Your line is open. Do you have a question or a comment? No. Okay. Sometimes there's also an issue with just the technology in Teams.
Press 1, you know, basically.
Yeah. And area code 718, so I see you there. If you want to jump on, just press 1 or star 1, and I'm happy to open up your line. Even if you've done it, do it again, because sometimes it doesn't register correctly. And if you want to call in, the number to call is area code 267-521-0167. That's area code 267-521-0167. And just I want to remind people to contact your legislators, talk to members in your community, speak out against oppressive legislation like the Murphy Bill, and get involved politically as well as other ways. We do have a call. Area code 718, your line is open.
Yes, hi, this is Jessica from Staten Island.
Hi, Jessica, welcome. You're live on the air. You have a question for Jack?
Yes, I have a question for Jack.
Hey, Jessica.
At first, I want to say hi, and believe it or not, I'm 36 years old, and I've actually never called into a radio show before, so this is very exciting for me.
Oh, awesome. Awesome, Jess.
At first, I
want to
say hi, and...
Well, welcome. If you have your radio on or the internet on...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
have my cell phone.
Yeah.
I will turn that down, so I know I'm hearing it, and then I'm listening to myself with a slight delay, so I'll stop doing that. My question is, Jack, I know you mentioned that you started, I believe at age 18 you started writing.
Yes.
I know next Tuesday the Advanced Slam team will be performing a return home performance to a bunch of, well, there'll be a mixed audience, but the focus is a freestyle writing group that's been happening at the Culture Lounge in the ferry terminal for primarily 17 and 18-year-olds. What advice specifically would you have for somebody at that age starting out wanting to do more in both stage and page poetry?
That's a very good question. I think the best advice that I could give is just make sure that you are confident enough in your own writing, but at the same time, just don't be afraid to write. Whatever comes to mind, just get it down on paper. You're always going to have an opportunity to fine-tune it. If you're going into sharing your work, you're always going to have an opportunity to find people who are going to be nice and supportive. I mean, ultimately, we do want safe spaces when we are working with a younger population, especially people who are going through post-adolescent issues. I mean, they're rough. So, the one thing that I definitely recommend to younger poets is just keep at it, just keep doing what you're doing, and, you know, you'll know when you're confident enough to go on stage. I had said earlier in the radio program, you're always going to feel nervous the first time you go up on stage, even if you're just, like, burying your face in your papers or your papers are shaking or even if they drop. That's only natural. People who are a little bit more established with poetry are going to be able to relate to that. There's very little judgment, I think, that comes along with that. We've all been there. So I think, you know, when it comes to the spoken word part of it, really, like, the only way to get your feet wet is just to do it, really. And, you know, it took me a long time before I started to enter slams, and when Staten Island started opening up the community for slam poetry, I jumped on it. I definitely jumped on it. I mean, having done it for as many years as I have, I knew that I wanted to just kind of progress forward. So I always just started doing the open mics, and then on top of all that, you know, when the slam team opportunity came along, you know, I decided to try out for it, and I tried out for it last year. I'm definitely trying out for it this year. God willing, I will make it this year.
Yes. Anything specifically to the page portion, maybe places where a younger poet could get their first publication or something of that nature?
Okay, well, I mean, it's pretty simple. Like, if you're a college student, you know, that's one place to start. It's one place to start to either join a club or be part of a creative writing class. But ultimately, you know, sometimes it just helps to just be around other people. I mean, poetry oftentimes can be a solitary activity, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily need to be. It can be a social activity. If you're around people who share the same interests that you do, you're going to probably want to be around that type of energy. Having studied art therapy myself, I know that there's always like a good energy that comes along with creative people just being together and creating. Workshops are always helpful. Clubs are always helpful. Just coffee shops are always helpful. I mean, for the page poets, basically, you know, anything that you can do to be around either like maybe like an older mentor or your peers, I would definitely recommend that, you know, that be done. But as far as pages are concerned, as far as getting inspiration is concerned, there are a whole lot of writing prompts that you can find on the internet. Definitely look those up if you need a place to start, for certain. I hope that answers the question.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. Jack, you're doing awesome. Lauren, can't wait to meet you next Friday at Nothing New. It's definitely worth the trip. It's one of the most interesting, cozy, yet interesting and exciting stages I've ever been on. So thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, and I should also mention that Jessica was on the Advanced Slam team, the first team to represent Staten Island. And from what I understand, she did a really bang-up job. So thank you, Jessica,
yeah,
for representing
us. I'm just
us.
Wondering, Jessica and Jack, before you go, Jessica, what is this? This analogy, okay, so I've heard multiple times this Staten Island Slam team. What is this? What is this about?
Jack, do you want me to take that, or do you want
Yeah,
me?
Yeah, you field this, please.
Oh, okay. So Slam is, like Jack was saying, competitive performance poetry, and in general, you know, each poet gets 3 minutes, give or take, on the mic, and they get scores by 5 judges. You drop the low, drop the high, and then figure out how that all works. And in the National Poetry Slam, which the Staten Island team and as our 71 other teams just coming back from, that was earlier this month in Decatur, Georgia, and next year will be held in August in Denver. You compete, and there's 4 teams in a bout, and each team puts up 4 poems, and you could have a group piece up against an individual or a group piece up against another group piece. So the goal of this particular event is kind of, you know, you take your collective strengths, you combine them like Voltron, you practice and perform and fundraise 3 times a week in the real heat of the season in June and July, and then you go there and you represent. And you also do side events based on different themes, like one of the themes I did, it was a smaller reading on a Saturday morning, was the Clitorati Women's Reading. And for the public that was at that event, it was, they couldn't get tickets to the large final stage, so that little reading in a small coffee shop was their only representation of this. And Slam is the fastest growing literary movement in the United States. There are a lot of other great venues in New Jersey and the New York City area that have teams and have competitions, but this is the very first year Staten Island has fielded a team, and that's in big part in thanks to Tariq Zaid and the Richmond Hood Company, because we have the ability to have, it was monthly and now it's going to be monthly competitive slam, plus a feature reading of some sort, theme reading each month, which Jack mentioned with the Mental Health Slam the first Friday in October, which is very exciting, and I am one of the co-hosts for that event. So, you know, Advanced is sort of a play on the name of our newspaper, and it's a little tongue-in-cheek, and it's a little bit fun, and anyone who ever took, like, advanced placement classes. So it Slam's been around a while, but this is the first time that Staten Island has a team, and what's unique is it's kind of the only team in a geographically bound 500-plus person area. So it's you kind of have the civic pride representation, too, so it's very much we're kind of moving the you know, the literary scene in different areas here forward, and one of the things we hope to do eventually is, like they have in a lot of other places, kind of move the youth movement along a little bit. You know,
nice.
There is a competition for, like teenagers and young adults called Brave New Voices, I believe. So there is definitely an undercurrent, you know, and a very professional polish. It's amazing what, and there's so many videos out there, it's amazing what these kids can do, but it's definitely, you know, the hope is to kind of bring more literary arts for the performance value and for the ability for people to speak their truth to this community and, you know, the Richmond Hood Company and the Cultural Lounge as well, and are very important spaces for the slam portion of it, but of course we have lots of other great coffee houses and places that lend their microphones, and the more we talk about it, the more we do it, the bigger and better everything gets, so it's all good.
Well, that sounds
good. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. And Jack and I actually know each other almost all the time. He's been reading poetry over 10 years from a coffee house that is now reincarnated into something called the hashtag bar, which is a bit of a open mic
the muddy
and poetry
cup,
hub
eh?
Of itself.
The muddy cup, the full cup, the hashtag. I think
I
the Phoenix cup kind of came in somewhere between there. Yeah.
It got closed again, is that true?
I heard that it closed again. I think the last time I read, it's supposed to be reopened in October.
I've always loved that space, so I guess what I'm thinking on a couple of levels is maybe we can do a follow-up show and maybe have some young people who might want to get some, you know, recorded airtime. I mean, the good thing about this is that it then exists forever for free in iTunes and other places, so you never know who might stumble over it.
That would be great.
You know, to get the word out about this kind of stuff. I really am a big supporter of this, and I wish that I don't really write that much now, but when I was, you know, a young person, I sure as hell did. And I really wish there would have been more kinds of supports for that, and I want to be able to support that. Maybe we can do something in the future. And I'm wondering if either of you would like to give a sample of some things that people might hear at a slam.
Jessica, you got anything?
I think
no pressure.
I will get something. But while we're doing that, I think I can mention a few other great organizations on the island and people who we possibly can connect you to. So the reading I was talking about next Tuesday, the freestyle open mic, the Advanced Slam team will be doing a 20-minute set from 7 to 7:20 because Flynn Ferguson, the arts and education person of Staten Island Arts, graciously gave us that time, and she gave us that time because this is the culminating event for their freestyle open mic young adults group they're having, and I bet you from that group we can get some people to to read and record, and you know, a lot of that group is 17 and 18 year olds, and so they're in conjunction with what's really nice, one of the nice surprises in this for me is Projectivity and Stereotype Co. It is a bit kind of in conjunction with the hip-hop movement on the island, and these are people that do other public art, murals, and a lot of really good stuff.
Great.
And I pulled out not one of the pieces I competed with in Georgia, but it's a piece I competed with in Monthly Slam at Richmond Hood, and it's kind of in the spirit of a lot of what our coaching has been is, and a lot of what slam is taking a weakness or something about your identity and turning it into a strength, and in the spirit of self-esteem and personal empowerment, which is a lot of what my work is, and in the spirit of, you know, inspiring kind of the 17 and 18 year olds, the up-and-coming young adults in this, I'm going to go with this particular piece. Are you guys ready?
Thanks.
I'm ready. Ready,
okay.
Freddie.
My name is Meatloaf. Of course, the statement demands an explanation, and it's a story over two decades in the making. Objects in the rearview mirror may appear closer than they are. Fall, 1993. I can't believe we go back that far. Good old freshman year insecurities. Some dudes want to make fun of me for my chubby, straggly-haired androgyny that reminded them of a top 40 singer who was going back into hell. But Marvin Lee Aday, a.k.a. Meatloaf, I sure knew him well. So let me break down how this dismissed. Little do they know that an attempt to be cruel was actually kind, giving me a moment to pause, reflect, rewind. On childhood memories in Grandma's basement, it was our time. It was our time down there, in the best Goonies sense. Left to our own devices, we found our own treasure chest, a stack of 8-tracks, and among the Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, and Megadeth, there was one cassette that stood out among the rest, appealing to the sing-song sensibilities of a group of sugared-up, school-age cousins. And week after week, we would retreat to my uncle's bedroom, learning rock opera anthems, singing them loud and proud at the top of our lungs, like our own personal battle cries. Well, I remember every little thing as if it happened only yesterday. Ain't no doubt about it, we were doubly blessed with this fond memories and musical repertoire to put to the test. And when they ask my closest cousins and siblings if they ever perform Meatloaf in karaoke, most say yes. So, to the high school hecklers and anyone else who have ever called me Meatloaf, I got these two words. Thank you.
In case you can't hear, I'm snapping right now.
Oh, cool. And that's definitely a thing in performance poetry that and from a performer's perspective, I really like it. It helps keep rhythm. We know that the audience is recognizing a list, or when they might know that you're getting a little stuck in something and cue, sometimes that momentum helps you going as well. It's a really fun thing, and it's definitely something I've missed in a few weeks since I've been back home.
Well, we've missed you.
And next week, hopefully I got 3 events. That'll be great.
No doubt.
So this is going to be September 2nd at the Nothing New Thrift Shop, 4916 Arthur Kill Road, Staten Island, New York, 10309, starting at 8 p.m. And you can get to the Tobias event pages on Facebook, and you can get to Jack Friedman, Jack M. Friedman, at multiple ways, Twitter, at Tobias Chapbook, Instagram, jfriedman81, and look for the Facebook page, Never Lick the Spoon. And Jack, we've got about maybe a bit of time left. I want to one more time give out the phone number. Area code 267-521-0167. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, make a comment, anything goes. Area code 267-521-0167. And if you need a toll-free line, 855-346-3351. It's 855-346-3351. So thanks so much, Jessica.
Thank you. And Jack, this has been awesome.
This has been great to have you. Thank you for coming on the air, Jessica.
So, Jack, tell me, what would you like to do at this point?
Okay, well, I'm going to give another example of slam poetry, or just something that I've tended to do at slams. It's not in the book because, you know, I already revealed one part of the book. I'm going to keep this part just a little bit, you know, freestyle. But this is a poem that I wrote in dedication to a friend of mine who passed away, and this one is called Hell Week. I'm going to just do this straight off the dome. Brain-racked, burdened, back, whacked by the treacherous trinity of illness, unemployment, and death. I craved a sweeter existence, and then my blood sugar became the enemy, and I became as brazen as that hideous thing at my job, whom I avoided like rotten shellfish. So I walked away, and I let them all burn. I let the whole place burn within a cauldron, simmering with a broth of belligerence and hostility. But then I learned of your death. with your blood invaded and destroyed as alcohol became your Enola Gay. You were a fat man with a scared little boy trapped within a vessel of inner torture. And to this day, I seek an oasis, trying my damnedest not to look back in anger, all the while wishing I could scream, "Don't go away," as if it would resurrect you from the dirt and the marble. And other days, I want to scream stanzas of sorrow, spitting in the eyes of those saints I illustrated for customers over and over. And some days I admittedly wish it was me, where I would be sent to a heavenly hospital, drugged out of my mind from the ether, with my eyes bulging from beneath my brain. And other days I want to live, and I want to spite those shooting stigma from slingshots, pilfering laundry from the grief I tried desperately to submerge into soap. But the cleansers were as effective as water used on Lady Macbeth's guilty hands. But I will not let myself die in Shakespearean tradition and honor, for the bard I embody thrives upon felicity, and I remain with concealed wit dissolving under my tongue, spreading from taste bud to taste bud. The enamel from my front teeth have been fading and are now as translucent as wax. My smile has aged and become decrepit. Your loss of vitality dissected my being, and I never cried the moment you passed, but my face lately burns as it is scorched with saline, seeping into sores, seated upon the outskirts of embossed, oily skin. And to this day, I wonder what would have happened if you asked the question why. And to this day, I always wondered if only I knew how to ask the question how.
Quite a talent you have there, Jack.
I'm sorry?
I said it was quite a talent you have there, Jack, but it's actually multiple talents because it's not only the writing, it's also the speaking.
Thank you. Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah, that's great. So anything else that you'd like to cover? The floor is yours.
The floor is mine. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, more or less, you know, I mean, I'm doing this, like, kind of full-time. I'm doing, like, the creative thing full-time. I have a store on a website called Society 6. That would be society6.com/JackM Friedman. I have a number of art pieces that I'm selling within that store. They're sold on canvases, framed prints, just regular art prints, as well as T-shirts, pillows, clocks, etc.
www.store6.
No, Society. Society 6.
Society 6. Sorry.
Yes.
Society6.com.
/ Jack M. Friedman.
/ Jack M. Friedman.
You got it.
Yep, got it.
Sweet.
And I'll share this on Talk with Penny page also. So I think it's...
Go ahead.
So you're selling art and clothing, did you say?
Yeah, I mean, my art is made into T-shirts. It's made into wall clocks, pillows even. I actually did order a pillow from Society 6 just to see what it looked like. It looks amazing. But I have, like, mostly psychedelically kind of themed photography. A lot of it is Instagrammed. Instagram has definitely been my friend, but there are, like, so many things that you can do with Instagram, and I've displayed that in my repertoire. And I'm also just registered to be part of the Snug Harbor Fence Show, the Staten Island Fence Show. For those of you who are tuning in and don't know about this, there's a fence show every year that takes place in Snug Harbor, or around Snug Harbor Cultural Center. This is going to be my first year displaying my art there. So that's going to be I believe on September 17th from 11 to 5 p.m. Or 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., I should say. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So, thank you. Let me see. Is there anything else that I can plug? That is a darn good question. But do you have any other questions for me, Lauren?
I'm just so excited for you and really want to see a great showing and that this is such a great effort, and I'm glad to be able to participate in it, and I look forward to it. And if you have anything else to share, I'm happy to listen.
Sweet, sweet. Now, how long is this program? Is this program about, like, an hour, 2 hours?
Yeah, we're just coming up on about an hour now.
Sweet, sweet. Well, well, I mean, I definitely am glad that you've had me on this show for the second time. I'm definitely thinking we got a good thing going here so long as I keep creating. I am just, like, really glad to have gotten the support that I have gotten over the years. And, you know, Jessica, who was just on the air, she also goes by the name Morningstar. She's definitely been a great support to me over the years also. I mean, we lose touch, but, you know, since she's gotten back into, you know, the reading, you know, we've really become good friends again. And, you know, we knew each other from the days of the Muddy Cup open mic back in, I want to say 2001, 2002. Well, 2002 is when I started doing the open mics. 2001 is when the Muddy Cup opened, because I remember that. It opened shortly after 9/11, if I remember correctly. But, no, but I've seen people just kind of come in and share their work and perform, and there's just so much incredible talent in Staten Island, and this is the type of talent that really needs to be recognized. This is the type of talent that really needs to be amplified, and, you know, I'm certainly hoping that we can really put Staten Island on the map as far as poetry goes, because Staten Island just generally tends to get such an incredibly horrible rap when it comes to anything remotely cultural, and it's just, it's a damn shame, really. It just is an incredible shame, but we're putting it up there. We are getting on the map, and I'm really grateful for that.
Well, it's great that you're doing it, and that there are people doing it, and hopefully we'll be able to spotlight some more stuff going on from Staten Islanders, and especially young Staten Islanders, and kind of create some space for them to have some air time as they wish, if they wish. And to keep on going, because I do agree with you that there are some incredible people and some incredible talents on this island, and it would be great to have them recognized by others.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the great, most recent talents is the singer Ingrid Michaelson, and, you know, Ingrid, I remember way back from the Muddy Cup because she was, like, you know, a barista there. So it is possible for Staten Island to bring forth some really amazing talent. And, you know, whether it be poetry, whether it be music, whatever the case may be, we really need our creative revolution here. And I think, you know, on Staten Island, we've definitely been a lot more cohesive with one another as artists. We've been a lot more supportive of one another, because we know what it's like to need that support, to want that support, to, and even just especially to get that support. People have just been so incredibly nice here, and the interesting thing is that, you know, even though in slam we're competing against each other, we're not competing against each other as human beings. You know, it's like we check our egos at the door just immediately when we start just doing what we're doing, and it's just like such a beautiful thing that we have this going on. And I do want to thank Tariq Zaid for hosting these open mics and slams at the Richmond Hood Company. He's really like a savior to us poets, because not only are we having the open mics there, but he also has hip-hop performances, he has DJs come in, and, you know, another shameless, well, not shameless, I have whatever the case may be. Shame, just cut out shame from that sentence. Let's just do that. I have Never Licked the Spoon being sold in that shop, and I'm fairly certain I'm going to probably get some copies of Tobias in there, too.
Oh, that's
Tariq and I are tight.
That's awesome. And, yeah, it's really exciting to see this happening out here, and I'm excited for you being involved in it. I think there's lots of people that can be connected in these kinds of ways. And so September 2nd, 2016 at 8 p.m., will be the kickoff for the release party for Jack M. Friedman's new chapbook, Tobias. There's going to be an open mic at the release party, which will be held at Nothing New Thrift Shop at 4916 Arthur Kill Road, Staten Island, New York, 10309. Again, September 2nd at 8 p.m., and you can find the contact information to that here on the Talk with Tenny page. And also at Jack Friedman's social media contacts, which are also all listed here. So, Jack, any final words?
Well, I think, you know, the only final words I have is, Lauren, thank you again for having me on the show. And I'm really grateful that, you know, I've been able to, like, get on the airwaves, and I'm definitely hoping that there will be some, you know, future projects that will come up, because I'm always working, I'm always, like, furthering my, you know, I'm just always kind of working as far as that goes. I mean, this is, right now, this is, like, literally a full-time job. I have a part-time job, but you know what, creativity, poetry, art, writing, photography, this is all, you know, the stuff that I'm passionate about, and this is all the stuff that I would be doing if money was not a factor.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're doing it, and that you're this is where you're at, and you're moving forward. I will be seeing you September 2nd about 8 p.m. at the Nothing New Thrift Shop on Staten Island. Thanks so much, Jack. Till next time, talk with you soon.
Thank you, Lauren, again. Thank you for having me.